410676.
Pride of Christ. This is Sheila Crawford of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and welcome to the news portion of our program. Well, the main news continues to be the ISIS crisis as they continue to metastasize, now reaching over 31,000. Meetings were held today in Congress to address this dire situation. It appears they have some other countries to join in the coalition, although not enough have truly committed. Airstrikes continue in Iraq and soon to begin in Syria. It looks like we will now be supplying added weapons and training the moderate Free Syrian Army that is already fighting President Assad, and obviously not succeeding very well because he's still there. But we know that some of them have been joining ISIS, as well as its leader less than a year ago. His name is al-Baghdadi, now calling himself the Caliph Ibrahim. Yes, you heard me correctly. As well, this Free Syrian Army is the same group that John McCain has always wanted to give more arms and money to. And now we will. Like we did to the Sunnis in Iraq, which literally ran from ISIS, leaving our tanks and weapons to be confiscated by them. How convenient for ISIS. Defense Secretary Hagel today finally is calling it a war and admits it will cost us billions of our tax dollars, and if it becomes necessary, we will have to send in ground troops and special operation forces to target the top leaders. This is just very complicated and confusing because so many are not really on the same page. But this takes us right back to the global elitists wanting chaos, especially these bankrupting wars, so they can come out with a great solution of a one-world government called the New World Order. I also believe the main reason for Obama not trying to close our southern borders is so they can scare us with the threat of ISIS coming into the United States, which they are doing, so it is working. Obama wants us to think that we are forcing his hand into a war he doesn't want, so when many of our soldiers get killed, he won't have to take the blame for it. This is all a plan, and the Free Syrian rebels will not be on our side. They will covertly side with ISIS, and that is a given. As well, Obama said today he is sending 3,000 U.S. troops into Liberia to help aid in the Ebola outbreak, a probable man-made disease to induce even more chaos. This is a misuse of our troops, to which exposure could be disastrous to our military. Soon you will hear that Ebola is here in America, and everyone must get this new vaccine that will be finished just in time. Won't we be fortunate? Well, nothing's going in my arm. Remember Bill Gates and his elite cronies like George Soros have stated numerous times that we must reduce the population to save the earth. Lastly, did you happen to see the evil newly retired president of Israel, Shimon Peres, visit the Pope again 2 weeks ago and after 45 minutes came out and said he was encouraging the Pope to, alongside the UN, to head up a United Religions organization to include all religions of the world. Peres said it's the best way to counteract these terrorists who kill in the name of their faith. He said what we need is an unquestionable moral authority who says out loud, no, God doesn't want this and doesn't allow it. close quote. Perez wants to establish this as an international body, as a moral force able to even intervene in conflicts. Really? Well, everything is in place for the New World Order and the world religion, the whore and the beast of Revelation. Now, all that has to happen is for the real Christians that are hindering its fulfillment to leave. The four blood moons have begun and the Shemitah year begins on Rosh Hashanah. We will be actually meeting this Friday at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, Chesterland, Ohio, to view a video about Israel and discuss Rosh Hashanah, the two-day appointment beginning the 24th of this month. Are you truly saved and therefore ready if he sounds that trumpet? Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
El Shana Tova Tiki Tevu, meaning may you be inscribed for a good year. You are listening to the live Shofar Ministries Hour, 1220 AM Christian Radio, or on the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is Ken Little John, your co-host tonight, along with our in-depth teacher and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, Kent, and may you have a good new year as well.
Thank you.
We are still in the repentant season of Teshuvah, and we've thoroughly been discussing that over the last 2 weeks, which are, by the way, all archived on our webpage at shofarministries.net. And in case you didn't hear it last week, that Hebrew greeting that you opened with is the traditional saying during the season of Teshuvah, Lashana Tova Tikitevu. It's a time of repentance that always precedes the memorial of trumpets, which our spiritual ancestors equated with their future resurrection, some year, which is our continuing topic tonight. And if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then you are in the Book of Life, where every year is a great year when you know where you're going. And now, as we do every week, let's give God the glory.
Lord, we pray that you bless those who are listening right now, especially for their loved ones' salvation, that you will tug them with your Holy Spirit conviction. We also continue to reflect on our own spiritual well-being as we anticipate your soon rescue of your bride. Tonight we ask for a special anointing on the many grandparents taking care of their grandbabies due to their wayward mothers or fathers, particularly those caught up into drug and alcohol scene. And we lift up the prayer requests from our monthly service and those who have come in over the week. And we pray for those listeners' finances, especially those who have a heart to give, and grant them wisdom and direction in these last days. And we thank you for your provisions to finance these programs. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. And we are so glad you tuned in. As always, the phone lines are open should you have a question on Hebraic roots or end time prophecy. 888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD. Or you can email during this program to shofarlive@yahoo.com. That's shofarlive@yahoo.com. And that'll only be up during this program. And again, please keep to the subject topic. So, as I said, we are in the season called Teshuvah, which began a few weeks ago on Elul 1. That's the Hebrew calendar. And we'll continue to Rosh Hashanah, but also, due to God's mercy, actually extends it all the way to Yom Kippur. And that's a great picture, by the way. Teshuvah means more specifically to turn around and turn more toward the Lord. Absolutely none of us can say that we are not as close as we should be to Jesus. Well, now is that time. And this might be the year, saints.
Well, one thing's for sure, every year we're getting closer.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. And this is our topic all month. If we're still here, part of next month as well, this really is Hebraic Roots 101.
It really is. Everybody should know this. the fall feast. These are basic teachings that every single Christian should be made aware of. And here's the important part. What are we supposed to do with this information?
Well, I believe share with others, of course. Absolutely. Especially, you know, your pastors. If you don't act like you're interested, or they may not be either. In other words, just ask your pastor to teach it.
That's right. Ask him to learn it, and he will, if nobody's asking. So, but before we continue, I would like to address the caller we had last week that asked about Ezekiel 21:7-12, who mentioned there was a similar reference in the Quran, and I agreed with him that the enemy does take from our Bible and will use it in other writings like the Book of Mormon and, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. And after further study over the week, I also want to agree with our caller that, yes, it is a warning of judgment, and specifically then it was back from the Nebuchadnezzar going to be attacking from Babylon. But today it's a typology. It definitely is a picture. And just like Ezekiel warned the Hebrews back then, we are being warned today, at least by those who really understand the days. Unfortunately, just like in Ezekiel and Jeremiah's day, there are still those who are preaching out there, oh, no problem, revival is coming, all is fine.
Think positive.
Think positive, yeah. Well, let me tell you, it's not fine. The top rulers of Israel, and actually most in the world, are in bed with Rome. I'm just sorry to say that, but it's the truth. Again, these are the top rulers. We look at this, the iron and the clay, remember of Nebuchadnezzar's statue? And they joined together toward a new world order. Well, back in 1993, then-President Peres of Israel quietly handed over 60% of Jerusalem to the Vatican. And let me tell you, judgment is very close, and it's called Jacob's trouble. This is Israel's trouble, and there's a reason. Of course, we know it as the 7 years of tribulation. But just recently, as I mentioned in the opening news, Shimon Peres met again with Pope Francis and has admitted to suggesting that all religions unite together as one under the Pope as the best way to counteract these terrorists who kill in the name of their faith. Peres said the United Nations and its peacekeepers do not have the force anymore or the effectiveness of even just one of the Pope's homilies, which can draw 500,000 people just in St. Peter's Square alone. But Perez's last recorded statement was the clincher. To me, it just opened up something here. He said, quote, "The human being is much more than being made up of just flesh and blood." Whoa.
Wow. I think, you know, that sounds to me like Ephesians 6:12, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
And he's referring to that. It's just more than flesh and blood. Oh, yeah.
Can you touch back on that iron and clay comment?
Oh, sure. We see the iron legs of Rome, and that ruled over the people, didn't they? Then it kind of went undercover. Okay, we wouldn't consider that Rome is anymore. You know, but in a sense, the kings of the earth still went along with Rome, only, you know, undercover type of thing. And if they didn't, many would die. And I think of John Kennedy as being one of those. Now, when the bride leaves, when we leave, Rome will take center stage again. But this time, it's a mixture of clay, which in the scriptures are the people, especially Israel, will welcome and unite with Rome. That's why the clay is mixed with the iron. But it will also have the seed of Satan. And again, for a while, eventually, though, it will not adhere and it'll break away and flee to the mountains. And that's what we talk about when they get saved.
Right.
They will flee.
Yeah.
And ultimately, of course, Jesus Christ returns
mm-hmm.
and breaks it all into pieces, for he's that stone. And this, again, is all detailed in Daniel chapter 2.
Okay.
But we must move on and get back to the fall feast, for we, the bride, are seeing so many gold nuggets. As in, like we mentioned last week, the name feast is really the word for appointment,
which is the moed or moedim in plural.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So if you have a calendar and you keep your appointment, you're going to the dentist tomorrow at 7 p.m., you're going to be there.
That's right.
And so God has his own calendar, right?
Yes. And, of course, they named it a feast because many of them, they do eat a lot and have fun, you know, like tabernacles and stuff. So they called it a feast.
Mm-hmm.
But in if I was interpreting the Bible, I would have not called it a feast. I would have called it an appointment.
Right.
I would have. So we kind of missed that through the years. But again, that's what it means about studying the Word.
And when you look at the spring feast, he fulfilled, you know, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, death, burial, resurrection, Holy Spirit on those feast days. So why would I think that he wouldn't fulfill the fall feast representing his second coming on those feast days?
That's right.
You know?
That's why we call it Hebraic Roots 101. It's really not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And we also left off last week explaining the many idioms that Rosh Hashanah has. And quickly, I'll just name them. And then you all, if you didn't hear it last week, you can go to last week's program, which is on my webpage, shofarministries.net, and listen to the whole program. But here's the idioms. The last trump, the coronation, arise, open the gates, chief of the year, day of remembrance, day of judgment, the hidden day, Yom Terah, and, of course, the wedding of the Messiah. So it is quite a few.
Let me see if I can summarize this. We saw last week that on the new year, will be the resurrection of the righteous, right? Fulfilling the feast of the trumpets, which is the idiom of the last trump.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians 51-52, we read, and then in 10 days later begins the tribulation with the signing of the treaty of the AC, or the Antichrist, which happens to be Yom Kippur, exactly according to Revelation 2,520 days.
Right. See, that's how we know that Yom Kippur will be the start and the finish.
It's very specific.
Right.
And Jesus Christ will come through the clouds to the earth in Revelation 19 to fulfill the feast, also called the Day of Atonement.
Yes. And Yom Kippur is also called the Day of Atonement.
Okay. And there is the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25 from the tribulation period taking under 5 days. And then he'll usher in the millennial kingdom on earth, you know, at the Feast of Tabernacles, also on his human birthday as well.
Yes.
Is, you know, all feast, the wedding supper at the reception right down here. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm, you did. You did good.
Okay.
You did pretty good.
There's a lot, you know, a lot there, but
there is a lot there. And we'll be saying that again as time, you know, goes on. And that's the one thing about Shofar Ministries Hour, I do try to repeat things because I realize, first of all, not everyone listens the same week, and because we need to hear it more than once.
It takes a while to sink in, too.
Yes. When I first started learning it, it took me probably a year at least.
And the feasts represent the timeline, you know.
That's right, they do.
You know, you can look at it vertically, but you can tilt it horizontally and see it as a timeline.
That's right.
So that's kind of neat.
And you
too.
Love timelines.
I love timelines. I like to see charts and timelines.
Yes, you are. You're good at that.
So that's kind of neat.
So anyway, our wedding is going to be up in heaven, and 7 years later is the supper, but it's back down here on earth, fulfilling another Jewish custom that I'm so happy to know, of having the reception after the 7 days of honeymoon back at the bride's previous home of her father.
And Sheila, you also said it had to be for a complete number of seven.
Seven is a complete number.
So
right.
Like our honeymoon will be a period of seven. Now, if you were rich, it might be 7 weeks, but if you were maybe not of a
you
lot
mean a
of
normal Jewish wedding might be?
Yeah, but it had to be seven, right?
It had to always be seven.
So if you were rich, it could be 7 weeks.
Okay,
if you
gotcha.
Weren't, if you weren't real wealthy, it might be 7 days, right?
Usually it was 7 days.
So, you know.
Okay, well, this might be a good time to look at the scriptures that actually verify this and how important that period of seven, which in Hebrew is called the Shavuah, that's the number seven, Shavuah, and it's in Genesis 29 with the story of Joseph and how he loved Rachel. Remember that story? And wanted to marry her,
mm-hmm.
but she ended up being switched for Leah, her sister.
Uh-huh.
That's still, it's beyond me. But anyway, I guess they keep that veil on for a while. But when she removed her veil, Jacob realized it was not Rachel and went storming out of the Hadar, or bridal chamber, to her father Laban, who probably knew this was going to happen. But it by now had been consummated, so Laban said to complete the honeymoon with Leah, and then he could marry Rachel. So why don't you just read that scripture, and then we'll talk about it. It's in Genesis 29:27.
Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me, still another 7 years.
Yeah, he had to serve 7 years just to get what he thought was Rachel, and it was Leah. So we see all these sevens showing up all the time. But that was the main thing he said. If you want Rachel, then you have to fulfill her Shabuah, her honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
First.
Okay.
That's how important it was. Okay.
So it's clear seven.
It's clear seven.
Right.
So that's one of the huge reasons that I believe that we have to be up in heaven with him for 7 years, not 3.5, as some teach, you know, those that don't know their Hebraic roots customs, that's for sure.
Right.
Which we know the Lord will adhere to. Which is why it was instituted in the first place for our learning today, so we can learn.
Right.
So, and by the way, what does Romans 15 say? I think we say this every week, but it bears repeating.
Well, that the things written before is for our learning.
That's right. So, and there's something else that we should remember. Do you want to state that? Because I know you have that somewhere in your notes.
God organized these detailed Jewish requirements. With definite customs, using particular phrases, that Jesus would also embrace, to give us huge clues so that we would learn how it will be used with us.
That's right.
You know? So it's a picture of a wedding.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. And as we've been saying, since we are in the annual season of Teshuvah, this really means for believers, it's a time to get closer to Jesus. I mean, we don't have to worry about our sins as far as, you know, being repentive. If we forget to repent for something, we're still saved and we're still going to heaven. But this can be a real time to get closer to him.
And if we recognize something, especially that we're in, you know, that we shouldn't be, and you're feeling
absolutely
convicted by the Holy Spirit.
Sins of omission, as we mentioned the first week. There's a lot of things that we can say, hey, Lord, I'd like to do this better.
Right. Yeah.
And then we have to think about our rewards that we're going to be getting, too, when we get up there. And I know people say, oh, I just want to get up there. I don't really care about rewards. But that's like slapping God in the face and saying, I don't want what you got for me.
Well, there's the crowns, right? There's the crown
yeah,
of righteousness.
You want those crowns.
Crown
believe me, when you get up there, you're going to want to have one of those crowns.
Right. I believe there's even a group called Casting Crowns, and the verse supports
that's it. Right.
We'll be casting our crowns at his feet.
Right.
So it's kind of an allowance, if you will, when you're in heaven, because you didn't go up there with anything, so you're going to need a little, you know, spending cash. So we'll be casting our crowns, if you will, to his feet.
Anyway, I think now is the time to play that beautiful song that says, just a closer walk with Jesus. Do you remember that?
And
this
Maria
is so sings fitting,
that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you play that?
Thou art strong. Jesus.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and that song was Just a Closer Walk with Thee by Anne Murray. And what a great beat that was. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And would you like Sheila to speak at your church or group or have a question? Maybe you'd like to email her directly at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office, 440-834-9006. And please pray about helping sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour.
And be sure to check out our webpage. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may order teaching DVDs as well.
And the lines are open. The numbers for your end-time questions is 888-677-WORD, that's 9673, or you can even email us during the show at shofarlive@yahoo.com for your end-time questions. And as a quick reminder, your donations are tax-deductible and are very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
Or you may use PayPal on our webpage, or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All donations automatically put you on my informative newsletter. So include your email address as well, or regular mail address if you desire it sent that way. Either way, we hope you will forward it and share with others. All right.
Well, as a reminder, Shofar Ministries meets the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306 in Chesterland.
That's right. And also, please tell a friend about this end of days ministry. Referrals are always a good thing. Okay, let's continue on. All right. And again, this is the time that we should consider getting very close to Jesus. And to do that, you need to understand his roots, especially the Lord's festivals, because these are his appointments that he made with you, his elect, because we've been grafted in. And if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then you must have at least a basic handle on this.
It's really Hebraic Roots 101.
I keep saying it, and it's the truth. I don't know how else to put it. Now, let me ask you, Kent, and the listeners out there tonight, if you really wanted to be a close, good friend to someone, wouldn't you want to know as much as you could about that person? Something about their background, their childhood, their heritage, their parents, their likes and dislikes? You know, Jesus calls his disciples his friends, as in John 15, even willing to give his life for them. You know, when I counsel, I tell all dating couples that they must be close friends first before they even think of marriage. And we, now the betrothed bride of Christ, will be getting married soon, and yet most, not all, but most of the church today don't really care about knowing the all-Jewish Jesus. They ignore his feasts that are very detailed in the Gospels, especially in John, which is the very first book I was told to read as a new believer. Weren't you, Kent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Gospel of John. Mm-hmm.
Let's just read a couple of nice scriptures. James 2:23. Read that one.
Sure. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
The friend of God. And there's another reference in Songs, Song of Songs 5:16.
His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
That's right. So we have to be his friend and his betrothed one. You know, another song we like to sing is that one, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the rules of true friendship don't even apply if you don't care enough to really find out all about him.
And we are talking about his Jewishness, of course.
Amen. So what would you think, now if you're the enemy, and what would you do? What would you might say to someone and through other people, of course, about this?
Well, I'd probably say, oh, we don't need to know about that stuff. You know, we're Christians, not Jewish.
I know. I hear that a lot. And that's true. Of course, we're Christians. We're not Jewish. But Jesus was Jewish, and we've been grafted in. In scripture in Romans 11, it tells us that we are grafted in as the wild olive tree into the original olive tree. And let me be clear, we as part of the new covenant are not under the old covenant. But if you want to know Jesus better, learn about the magnificent gift we've been given by understanding what we have been freed from. Because then you really appreciate what he has done for his bride.
Sheila, since we had just compared Jacob's honeymoon with ours to Jesus, maybe you could expound a little bit more for some of the typical Jewish wedding customs.
I could. Mm-hmm. Actually, there was three ways for weddings to be arranged. And we'll see Jesus through all three of them. But first of all, it could be the parents. Okay, and sometimes the parents would arrange these marriages even before birth. Do you know what the picture there is, Kent?
I'd say God from the beginning planned for Jesus to marry the church. What do you think?
Right. So he could fulfill that role as well, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then also the young man himself could do it as well.
Yep. Jesus betrothed himself to the church, the Last Supper, right?
He did. And then also they could have an agent. Now, remember Abraham had sent his closest servant, Eliezer, to find a bride
for Isaac? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her name was Rebecca, and you can read about that in Genesis chapter 24. But you see, an agent had the same authority as the one, and in this case it was the father, who sent him. And he would also be called the sent one.
And Jesus refers to himself as being sent from the Father in John 7.
He does, and we're going to see here right now that the Holy Spirit is as well. But first of all, who does Abraham typify?
Well, God the Father of Jesus.
That's right. So who does Eliezer typify then? And do you know what his name actually means?
It means the helper of God.
It does.
And, you know, he was Abraham's closest servant in Genesis 15.
Right.
So I will say the Holy Spirit.
Right, so we have the parents can do it, the young man himself can do it, or an agent can do it, which represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
It's a beautiful picture.
It is a beautiful picture. And then, of course, you can see that all three are involved as well. Now, who is a picture of Rebecca who does accept, by the way?
The Gentile bride, if
That's
you will.
Right.
That's us.
That's us. And Eliezer, who is a... Again, a picture of the Holy Spirit. He actually woos her, and he speaks to her first. And we saw that in Genesis 24:17. He talks first.
It's kind of like the Father through the Holy Spirit, how he prepares us and he speaks to our hearts. You know, we have to open that door when he knocks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he does first. John 6:44 kind of says that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it quite interesting that Abraham told Eliezer, and this is so good, that it was still Rebecca's choice to either accept or not. But if she did accept, then she must leave immediately and accept his customs and traditions. Now, what picture do you see there?
I see a family picture of the world. And when we accept Jesus, we must leave the world and follow him.
That's right. So this is all, again, in Genesis 24. But then we see that she does accept, and as soon as she accepts, he gives her gifts.
Well, we get gifts from the Holy Spirit, right?
As soon as we accept Jesus, we get our gifts from the Holy Spirit, right?
And our families are set apart or wooed by the Holy Spirit as well.
How do we know that? Because he gave them gifts as well.
So, like salvation, should they accept, right?
Well, actually... In that picture there, we see Eliezer gave the family gifts as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in our situation, when we accept, we get gifts from the Holy Spirit too. But the gifts to the family are actually given in the fact that the Lord will actually woo, or the Holy Spirit will woo the family even more so because we have already been the bride. So that's why it's exciting when we see our family members come to the Lord, because he has wooed them even more so, and especially because we're going to pray for them more.
Right, right. So, you know, Jesus paid the ultimate price with his life, too.
Well, we see that in verse 53. that Eliezer did pay the bride price.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, so he's fulfilling each of these steps. It's pretty remarkable. Then also we're going to see in verse 58, and I hope everyone out there will read this tonight, that Rebecca does accept and agrees to leave right away. And then there's still another very interesting typology. And by the way, when she agreed to leave right away, that means we have to agree to put the world aside as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. In other words, we're not supposed to have one foot with the Lord and one foot in the world.
So we're to pick up our cross daily.
Yeah, and carry it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but there's another interesting typology. It's just interesting that Rebecca's journey, because we figured this out, was about 500 miles. Now, on a camel, that's a long journey.
That's pretty bumpy. Do you know if that was a one-hump or a two-hump camel? Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Just curious.
But yeah, pretty bumpy. I can't even imagine riding 500 miles. And yet, what a great picture of our Christian walk, because it can be pretty bumpy sometimes.
Yeah, that is true.
But as well, Eliezer would be teaching many things about Isaac to her on this long journey. And that's like us. On our journey, we learn a lot from the Holy Spirit about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because his word Jesus is the word.
Right.
So the more we study the word, we're going to learn more about him. And I think it's great because you know darn well they're riding on these camels for 500 miles that Eliezer had to be telling her all kinds of things about Jesus. Don't you think?
I would think so, yeah.
That's right. So the Holy Spirit who teaches us to understand our Bible would also be teaching her to understand her ketubah. And that's like, the Bible is our ketubah. It's our contract. It's, getting to know the Jewish Jesus as well as we can, his likes and dislikes, and also what he expects of us.
Now, the ketubah, that was kind of like the wedding contract?
Contract. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
yeah.
What is written down, what he would expect from her,
mm-hmm.
and then if she accepted it, she would... Well, as we can see here, I'm going to talk about it here in just a minute. But I also wanted to say that, you know, just a few years ago, our faith was always called Judeo-Christianity.
That's right.
Somehow the Judeo got dropped.
Ah, you're right. I haven't heard it lately, actually.
That's right.
And so, okay, now, what about the average Jewish lad who, what would he do if he took a fancy to a maiden and wanted to pursue his own separate from his father or his agent?
Right, he wanted to do it himself. Well, first of all, he would go to her home and talk with her father and older brothers to discuss the dowry. And again, as I already said, the contract, which is called the ketubah. And then wine would be poured from the wineskin.
Was that like real wine or was that like Welsh's grape juice?
Well, it wasn't Welsh's grape juice. No, it was definitely real wine.
Okay.
The custom was real wine. Now, if the father approved of the price and the ketubah and the contract, which was that document that basically said, again, what her responsibilities were, what he expected of her. And then she really didn't even need to talk. She would just read her contract, her ketubah, and if she did agree with it, she would pick up the cup of the wine and she would drink from it. At that point, he knew that she accepted, and then she was set apart, bought with the price, because he paid the bride price as well. And again, this typifies at the Last Supper, how, remember, they drank the third cup of wine, which is called the cup of acceptance?
And Jesus paid the price with his death on the cross.
And then he paid the price, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you see how all these customs come into play here, which is why it's important to know them.
When she accepts and drinks the wine, it sort of reminds me of free will, you know?
It is free will.
Mm-hmm.
It was still her choice. And
right.
That's what Abraham had told Eliezer, to make sure that he knew it was her choice.
In John 15:16, he chose us. It's sort of like, you know, it's like the bride is predestined in a way.
The whole bride is predestined, of course.
Right.
But it's still our choice to enter into that bride.
Right, right. And Christ paying that price at the cross. So it's a beautiful picture of the wedding. It's the wedding.
That's right. and now the betrothal is legally binding.
So a good example of that would be like Mary and Joseph, for instance.
That's right. That's right. It was legally binding. And in order to annul it, they would have had to get a legal writ of divorce, also called a get, a G-E-T. The only difference, of course, in this legality is that they did not live together or have relations. And in most cases, the groom would return to his father's house and begin building the hadar, or the house that they would live in, and it would usually be next to the father's house, sometimes even attached to it. There's something that I want to revisit that I taught about in Isaiah about a year ago, and it's the verse in Isaiah 26. And in verse 20, it actually says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers." And by the way, chambers is hadar, and it's the wedding chamber. "And shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while until the indignation is past." That indignation is fury or the wrath of God. So that would be a period of seven, a Shavuot again. That was the mandatory time for all honeymoons. And the clue here is that enter your chambers is a honeymoon chamber. So that's how we know that this is referring in the Old Testament to the New Testament wedding.
Mm-hmm.
When he calls us up, where he says, "Come, my people," like he said to John in Revelation 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the 7 years, and as you had already said, it typifies the regular marriage honeymoon that always had to be a period of seven. If they had a lot of money, yes, it could be 7 weeks, but usually it was 7 days. In our case, it would be 7 years, but it has to be a seven.
So, Sheila, the point I see you're making here is that it can't be 3.5 years.
I don't think I could be any plainer. It can't.
Yeah.
And, again, we just discussed that with Jacob and Rachel, and I gave you scriptures to confirm that.
Another great example of why you really do need to know some basic tenets of our foundational faith.
That's right.
You know, look at verse 20 in Isaiah 26. It's really right up there. It's being one of the most important scriptures in Old Testament.
Oh, I love that scripture because it's saying, okay, bride, come on up. Stay in your chamber until the indignation is over.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge.
We're not appointed to wrath.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Now, and by the way, on my webpage, I have about 2 pages of scriptures all referring to a pre-tribulation rapture. I highly recommend that you go and you read them.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any doubts in your mind, which I know some people do.
Some people do. But they may not be learning Hebraic roots.
Well, that's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people just don't understand. That's it, in a nutshell.
Right.
Hebraic roots. Got to know it.
And by the way, this ministry focuses not on the legalistic aspects of it. It's the understanding of the Old Testament.
That's right. I am not a legalist in any way, shape, or form.
That's right. That's right.
I enjoy my freedom way too much. Amen. Anyway, the honeymoon room, which all Jewish grooms would go and build right after the bride accepts, is what Jesus did, and we're going to read that in a second, but he used this marriage terminology to his apostles right after the washing of the feet and the drinking from the third cup of acceptance at the Last Supper. And actually, it's one of the last things that he told them. But can you read that in John 14, 2 and 3, what he said after they drank the cup?
Okay. "And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also, or you may be also."
Okay, so he leaves with a promise to return. Now it is her time to prepare and study her ketubah so she can truly please him by getting to know his likes and dislikes every time we study his word. People, let me tell you, we become more beautiful to him. In fact, the ancient Jewish rabbis claim that prayerfully studying God's word is the highest form of worship. Do you remember that other quote that I gave you, Kent, not too long ago?
An old Jewish motto, I believe. Don't take a lot of personal credit for knowing God's word, for that is the reason you were born.
That is the reason we were born, to have fellowship with him. Yes, we were put here to choose him and then have fellowship with him. And that's the bottom line, and it can only be done through the Word. It truly is amazing to see how Jesus particularly uses the customary wedding terminology because he wants us to know these details so we can recognize how it will be with us.
Yes, I really think how blessed we are to really know this.
Amen. Oh, I am so blessed. But I must say, it is finally catching on a lot more now than when I taught it 20 years ago. And I have to thank my pastor at the time, which was Pastor Loomis and his wife, Lori, at Burton Assembly, who really encouraged me to teach Hebraic Roots way back then. It really helps to understand the end time scenario well, so you know what's going on and you can get excited because he could be coming soon, this month.
He could be.
So anyway, we're going to have to close. Next week, we will continue teaching about the fall feast still as we get even closer to the memorial of blowing of trumpets, which is God's real new year. Oh, precious one, if you are listening out there and you have never made Lord Jesus over your life, remember, Christ died on the cross for you. He went through hell for you. And he even stands today at the door of your heart and knocks. And Revelation says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." But he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are also beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Maybe you are in a name-only Christian mode, like it says in Matthew 7, who only has a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction. You need to get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute, because if you hesitate, sometimes the enemy might steal that seed away. So repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah, to anyone who wants him. Because God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It's really your call. Don't be a fool. And now the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22 through 27. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai Panav Le'eka V'yuneka. Yasei Adonai Panav Eleka V'yasam Baka Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim.
And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Psalms 122:6.
That's right. So again, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, don't wait another moment. The rapture is going to happen really soon, could be this year, and you don't want to be left behind.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. So God bless you. We'll see you next week. And shalom again.
Shalom. Amen.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.